Welcome to the Life Insurance Financial Education Podcast. We're pulling back the curtain on high cash value life insurance, revealing its role in a comprehensive financial strategy to help you build wealth and achieve your financial goals. Glad to have you here. I'm James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro.
Hi, I'm Jane with Tax Exempt Millionaire Club.
And I'm Carlo Vaccaro with NetWealth Finance.
Today, we're going to be busting IUL myths. There's a whole bunch of them out there. Some of them come from people who are overselling the IUL, and some of them come from the people who would rather you buy something else, aka the haters. We're going to be going over all of these. We're actually going to break this up into two different episodes because there's so many myths that we came across when we started compiling them. Now, before we get started on the myths, do you guys have any updates on your personal investments?
So my boat is finally operating charters, and it should have done a couple already. So things are moving along. In case you hadn't checked out one of the earlier episodes, my boat has been struck by lightning a second time, and we've completed repairs on it for the most part. Still some minor things that need to be done, but we're operating and doing charters, and we'll update later on as the charter season goes along, and we'll see. Maybe we'll dive into some numbers at some point and I can let you know how it's gone, but hoping that it's a good season, and I'm looking forward to recovering from lightning strikes. And life insurance has been a big part of helping me stay afloat and float some of those costs without having to liquidate other assets. So it really ties into what we're talking about on this podcast.
For me, I discovered this slow flip since I'm doing real estate. I will study and really get to know that slow flip. It's a BRRR method, but one of the R becomes contract for deed or lease with option to buy. So I'll keep you updated in future episode, maybe when I buy the first slow flip.
So we used a bit of acronyms in there. Let's explain the acronyms briefly so that people know what you're actually talking about. What is the BRRR?
BRRR method stands for buy, renovate, rent out, refinance, repeat. So it's a strategy that is intended to build out a long-term real estate investment portfolio, and using the forced appreciation through that renovation to be able to get out all or most of the invested capital. So it's a really great strategy that combines well with life insurance.
All right, good explainer there. And Jing is engaged in learning about a new process that's very similar to it called the slow flip method. Is that correct?
Yes. I'll keep you updated. I wish I will get my first slow flip soon.
Excellent. No updates from me. So let's jump into these IUL myths. Myth number one, IULs are just like whole life insurance. Who wants to tackle that one?
That's the myth. Here's the reality. IUL offers flexible premiums and death benefit, along with cash values linked to the stock market index. Unlike the fixed structure of whole life insurance is a stretched out premium. Your premium is fixed each year. For index universal life, it offers flexible premium. It's one of the features we mentioned many times. So there's distinct difference between IUL and whole life.
Yeah, and I like to point out that whole life carries a lot more guarantees. IUL has a lot less guarantees than whole life. That's a pretty distinct difference between the two. And really, it boils down to, a lot of times, what attracts somebody to one over the other. Some people really like those guarantees. There's a lot of value in guarantees. So the myth where they're trying to say it's just like whole life insurance is, it's really not true.
And I would just add one other thing that is just not present in IUL is the concept of reduced paid up, which allows you, well before the policy maturity, to turn off the premium in whole life. IUL just doesn't have that feature. There are ways that you can minimize the expenses and stop paying premiums, but the expenses will always be present until policy maturity in an IUL.
And that's a myth that the people that oversell IUL put out there. I think we'd call that myth busted. Number two, some people like to say that you can lose money in an IUL.
So the reality is, while cash value growth is linked to the market, most IULs have a floor that protects against the losses, ensuring that policyholders don't lose money in a down market.
Cash value can go down due to expenses, but not market losses. A legit expense shouldn't be viewed as a loss.
Yeah, you're not going to lose money due to market losses. As we just said, the cost of insurance, if you get no growth because the market didn't go up, you're not losing money because you're getting the benefit of insurance. That's what you're paying for. You're getting the benefit of that product. There's an actual cost to that that has a benefit to it. Why would you refer to that as a loss unless you're just a hater of the product and you want to sell something else?
I would add, if, as long as you're actually at least paying premium to cover that cost of insurance, the value still won't actually go down. So making that minimum premium payment is a good idea no matter what.
Good point, because in a properly designed IUL, the expenses are pretty low. So if you put in any type of premium, your cash value is probably going to go up that year, even if you got 0% credit due to the market returns. All right, myth number three. Infinite banking can only be done with whole life insurance. Boy, I hear this one a lot.
Well, that's a total myth. The reality is, infinite banking can be done with many different products, including IUL. We mentioned this in another episode.
That's right. We talked about infinite banking being done by putting cash under your bed and going under your bed in order to access that cash and just replacing it later on. Same thing can be done in a savings account or a checking account or a brokerage account. There's all kinds of places that you can do it. We don't get all the benefits that come with high cash value life insurance if we do those other things. So whole life is one of the ideal vehicles to be doing infinite banking with, but it's definitely not the only thing to be doing it. I know a lot of people that use their indexed universal life policies to practice infinite banking.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing now with IUL Index Universal Life for my IBC.
And I'm also currently using my IUL. I have policy loans against my IUL and my whole life policy at the moment. So it is possible with both of those.
Yeah, to just expand a little bit more on this, when somebody like us owns IUL and whole life, and we're infinite banking practitioners, both of those products act like a line of credit, and we're going to borrow from whichever one makes the most sense. And oftentimes, the IUL might be the first one that we tap into because of the different loan options and the potential for arbitrage compared to what whole life offers.
And that's actually exactly my position with my particular policies, especially right at this time. I have a 5% loan in my IUL, and currently my whole life is at 6.2, slightly higher rate. Also, my whole life policy, it is a direct recognition loan. So there is a slight reduction in the crediting for the borrowed funds. So it is slightly less advantageous in my own whole life policy. Whereas the IUL, I'm possibly, I think this year, going to have positive arbitrage against that 5% I'm borrowing. So I'll actually earn on the funds that I have borrowed. So I think that's IUL can be great. Both of these things are great tools, and IUL can also do IBC.
Okay, myth number four. IUL are only for wealthy individuals.
That is a total myth. The reality is, IUL can be designed for a range of budgets.
One reason why this can work for folks who may not have great opportunities to sell, save elsewhere in maybe traditional retirement accounts is you don't lose access to liquidity. So somebody who's not wealthy, middle class people can increase their savings rate by using an IUL because you don't lose access to that liquidity in the event of an emergency. So it becomes a good place to store an emergency fund or even a place where you can use that to finance other activities that you might be doing in your own life if need be.
That's an excellent point. Lower income individuals benefit more greatly from a well-designed policy that has high liquidity, allowing them to increase their savings rate. I know with the different products that we like to use, some products work better for large funding levels, and some products work really good at low funding levels. We can design one of these products when we do a proper design that it can grow cash value even if you're putting in $50 a month. You don't have to be wealthy to be able to afford to set aside 50 bucks a month into a policy like that. That's going to grow in cash value. That can help supplement without breaking the bank for lower income individuals. Moving on to myth number five next. This one is one that is particularly galling when I hear it. The myth is that IUL carriers will adjust things inside your policy to purposefully lower your return or cause it to fail, as if they want your policy to ultimately fail.
The reality is that that's completely not true. It is not in the best interest of the life insurance carriers to lower, purposefully lower your returns. The circumstances where they might tweak things are when there's maybe very low interest rates for a long time or really expensive options. They're not going to just lower it for no reason. And that's just not how it works. So they want to succeed, and it is not in their best interest for them to lower things for no reason.
Yeah, they're an insurance company. Their goal is to sell you a death benefit. They price that in. It's the cost of insurance inside of a product. There's a much higher likelihood that you will continue funding that product and sending them money if your product is performing as expected or better. There may be some unscrupulous carriers out there, just like there's unscrupulous businesses or business people that engage in bad business practices. That can happen in any industry. I'm not saying no insurance carrier will try to do something underhanded that might negatively affect your policy. But by and large, this is a well-regulated industry and they make their money off of you paying your premiums and covering that cost of insurance every year, not off of the little bit of money that they might get to keep if your policy lapses.
Exactly. They want you to keep paying your premiums, and they want all the policies to be enforced.
Yeah, the cost of insurance goes up every year to reflect the risk that that policy represents. They don't want you to just give up the policy because it's at a higher risk. They're just charging you for the higher risk.
Exactly.
We've got four more myths coming up. We're moving on to number six. This myth is IULs are complex and difficult to understand.
This is a myth. The reality is, while IUL have various features and terms, with proper education and consultation, they can be understood and used effectively for financial planning.
And really, we can summarize an IUL in that very similarly, they invest in secure assets that pay a yield, and they use that to buy options against indexes. That's really the way that an IUL works. There's certainly more mechanics to it that could be explained more in depth, but an IUL is not super complex when you understand that basic principle.
I know I'm in this space all the time, so it definitely doesn't seem that difficult to me to understand. But I do see that there's a lot of value if clients educate themselves on these products. That's a big part of why we put these things out there. And I agree that I don't think it takes all that much education to understand how these things work. There are some details that definitely make it more complex than, say, the way whole life functions. But it's not beyond the comprehension of your average consumer.
I would also add that one of the things about whole life that makes it simple is they hide all of the expenses. They are not obligated to share what the expenses are in a whole life policy. However, in an IUL, much more of those expenses are transparent within the illustration. So you can look at what you're actually getting charged for things.
That's actually a really good point because most of the time, when I hear this complaint that these things are complex and difficult to understand, it's somebody that's trying to sell you something else pointing out that the illustrations in an IUL are so many more pages. And because of all those pages, that's what makes it difficult. When the reality is, it has all those extra pages because it's required to disclose all of those expenses that are happening inside of it and the risks that are represented. Whereas some of those same expenses, almost all of those same expenses, are present in the much simpler product They just are not required to disclose those to you. We're on to myth number seven. IULs are a get-rich-quick scheme. This is for the people that are overselling this thing, trying to make it seem like an IUL is going to solve all of your problems.
Well, the reality is IULs are long-term financial products designed for steady growth and protection. They're not quick wealth accumulation tools. One great aspect of an IUL, though, is you can have that downside protection and have exposure to the market upside. So even if you're invested in the markets, I have retirement accounts, Roth, various types of traditional accounts, brokerage accounts, IUL becomes a hedge for many of these other types of accounts because it's not going to go down, and we still have pretty good exposure to when things are going up.
So it's a good diversification tool along with other investment efforts, not something that somebody would necessarily focus on and expect to suddenly get rich by only using an IUL.
Absolutely.
All life insurance policies should be long-term strategies. It's definitely not a get-rich-quick scheme.
Okay, we've got two left. This next one is a little more technical. The myth is that the proprietary indexes that some of these products offer are bad. All proprietary indexes are bad.
The reality is, oftentimes the indexes are created to reduce volatility and lower the options and expenses, allowing carriers to offer high participation rates and uncapped returns.
Yes, and in many cases, I'll use my own policies, for example, I'm only allocated to proprietary index options because in my case, they're the uncapped index options and they've done pretty well over the years and I've been very happy with their performance. I will often like to use the proprietary index options.
Okay, so let's just clarify. The term proprietary indexes refers to these indexes that were created by either the insurance company or another financial institution in order to sell options against it for the purposes of these insurance products. So these are specially designed indexes that they did back testing on to come up with a thesis on how this thing might perform in the future. And then they put it to work in the market. That's what a proprietary index is. It's not anything to be afraid of. It's not even necessarily some hidden formula. The details are out there. But how any trader ends up creating a system, they're always going to start with back testing to see how their potential trading plan might have worked in the past. Nobody knows what they're going to look like in the future. So you got to start somewhere. And this doesn't just happen with life insurance companies and these IUL products. It happens every single day in the actual market. Those are your ETFs. Those are your mutual funds. They come up with the same strategies by doing back testing, and then they have a proprietary index that you can invest in. So this isn't something specialized to the insurance companies. It's a legitimate way for people to grow wealth. The insurance companies are just offering this because of what it does. It offers some particular benefit in the market, either lower cost options or reduced volatility, something that makes it more attractive for these particular products or gives people a different option than just your normal indexes. Most products will also have regular indexes as an option. I have a number of IUL products that I own. And I'm utilizing proprietary indexes, some volatility indexes that are proprietary, and I'm also in your basic S&P options. I'm utilizing all of that, and I definitely don't view the proprietary indexes as bad just because they're proprietary. There are definitely some bad proprietary indexes out there. In fact, a lot of them, a lot of volatility indexes that were designed over the last 5, 6 years, all of the back testing was done in a different interest rate environment than we've been experiencing since 2022. Well, since 2022, we've been in a rising interest rate environment, and a lot of those proprietary indexes have been underperforming since then. That's the reality of the situation. It's not because those indexes were bad or the back testing was bad. We're in a totally different environment. Nobody knows what the future is going to do with any particular trading plan. We have to adjust. So we're not saying proprietary indexes are good or bad. They are what they are, and they're just another tool that we have access to within these particular products.
Yeah, and so to circle back on what you were talking about with the people doing this in the markets, I follow a lot of content as a dividend investor myself around different dividend ETFs that come out that have different strategies. They're doing the same thing, and I use some of them myself. I think that these new strategies for combining assets to diversify, it can make sense whether it's in the market or in a life insurance product. Those things can be helpful for creating good returns for people.
Agreed. Let's move on to our last myth for this episode, and that is that IULs are only good for retirement savings.
The reality is, IULs can be part of retirement planning. They can also serve other purposes, such as funding education or providing a safety net for unexpected expenses. It can be a line of credit for you to use as an emergency fund as well.
Yeah, I agree. They're a multifaceted tool. They can be used for all kinds of things, just like our other high cash value life insurance products. They can be used like a line of credit for anything throughout your life prior to retirement. It has the liquidity in it. We design it for that. There's no reason to think of it as just for retirement savings when there could be all kinds of good uses throughout your life that you might need to access that cash value, whether it's for an emergency or for other investment opportunities that pop up. That makes nine myths busted today. I think we have at least nine more that we're going to bust next week. Do you guys have any call to action for the listeners this week before they go?
It's time for this week's call to action.
Really educate yourself because no matter what kind of product you will buy, how much you will fund, it's your own policy. You need to know why you're buying it, how you will use it. I encourage everyone to follow us to learn more and then educate yourself so you can make wise decision when you try to get some life insurance or start practicing IBC.
I would agree. I have content on some of these myths as well on my own YouTube channel. And I know James has covered a lot of these things. And James has done a number of updates on his own IULs. So I would say check out some of his videos and how he's updated on the performance of his own IULs. And I will plan to do some of those myself. I just haven't yet. So I think that's a good way to bust the myths is to just look at the reality of what people have done with these products.
And I would say a good call to action for folks is to take any criticism or marketing hype with a grain of salt. Definitely try to educate yourself. The best way to do that is to schedule a meeting with an agent that specializes in designing these things. You can't just get any agent off the street because nobody gets taught how to do this stuff. Nobody gets taught how to design these things for the best benefit of the client. We have to seek this out as an agent. We have to purposefully go and try and do better because the people that are hiring insurance agents, the greater the commission that they make, the higher the expense in the policies, the more money that gets paid out to other people and less money that ends up in your pocket. So it's to their benefit, presumably, for you to have a more expensive, worse designed policy. So make sure you're reaching out, even get multiple opinions. You can meet with multiple agents, talk to people who don't like IULs, talk to people who do like IULs, talk to people who only like whole life. What I tend to see is we've got people that like whole life and hate IUL, and you've got people that want you to invest in the stock market and they hate all life insurance products, and we've got people that want you to buy IULs, and they'll usually talk about how much they hate the stock market and whole life. The reality is, they're all good products. They serve different purposes. And I view it as our job to help figure out how to place these things. How do we diversify properly so that we can meet our financial goals?
Yeah, I think those are some fantastic points.
And with that, we'll be back next week with part two of this episode where we tackle the rest of these myths. I'm your host, James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro. You can find me on YouTube at Oregon Cash Flow Pro. I'm licensed across the country for life insurance and annuities.
This is Jane with Tax Examiner Club, a school community. You can find me there. And I'm licensed in multiple states as well.
And I'm Carlo Vaccaro with NetWealth Finance. You can find me at netwealthfinance.com or on YouTube at SHAPNIN.
Take care. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for watching.